First Corinthians 12. No, Romans 12.
We were sorting it.
Or we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 12 in a minute. That's what was on my mind. Verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the propitiation of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Now, one of the basic assumptions of both Judaism and Christianity is that there will be a body of people in order that the mystery of God can be worked out. For over 100 years, well over 100 years, in Christianity, the church, if you will, was, as we talked many times, in general terms, it had to have at least 10, but no more than 20 people in each Seder group. They no longer called the weekly feast the Seder, or the mini Passover. They began calling it the Agape Feast. And these continued. I mean, so every week there was a mini Passover. Every cycle of week of the days, there was a mini Passover to remind each person of the Exodus. The Exodus from the world in Egypt, historically, and their Exodus from time every week. And so that intimacy of, they met 3 times a week, they studied the scriptures according to the 3-year cycle, the same that Christ did, so that in a 3-year period, they were able to see that all of the scriptures testified only of Christ. And so that became that cycle of scripture reading, the cycle of the feast year, and then the cycle of the days, where each week they celebrated the Passover in a mini way, caused this intimacy among the different people. And then what happened? How did it get to today with mega churches like the one in Korea that has 150,000 members? How did that happen? Well, first, the Agape Feast stopped because there was drunkenness. The wine, the drinking of the wine during the meals, slowly but surely, without exhortation, there became massive amounts of drunkenness. And then, as there was a tendency towards it, but in AD 135, then the emperor forbid anything Jewish in the Roman Empire. And so all of the celebration of the feasts had to go bye-bye. And so slowly but surely, it moved towards the idea that a building was a church, but not for a long time. There wasn't a building called a church for over 300 years. And then when Constantine became the emperor and declared Christianity to be the state religion in the early part of the 4th century, then everything began to worship bigness. And so, and the huge, you know, Constantine with the, all the riches of Rome and his mother and his wife, they built all these incredible buildings that, to celebrate their new faith. And so, as you can see, this is how it slowly but surely moved away from the simplicity of the early church. Now, so these scriptures that we're reading now about your office in the body and being many, we're one, they began to lose their power. They didn't have any meaning. It became almost a metaphysical kind of thing instead of a practical kind of thing. And so the writings here of Paul about how a body operates began to lose their power because there was no reference on what it was written to the smaller groups that had the intimacy of meeting at least three times a week and going through the scriptures in a proscribed manner. And all of a sudden now it just becomes a religion. And you can see why, if I'm right, if we're right about believing that the night of the last day began at the crucifixion of Christ, at his death, you can see why the night of the last day has lasted 2,000 years. Because it slowly but surely what happened was that Christianity, or God stuff in general, became an add-on to your life instead of being your life. And so most of you grew up in a cultural kind of Christianity of some sort, or for our Polynesian friend, Mormon. And it's still a cultural thing. It isn't reality. No, the question is, what is your faith? And faith has become a noun instead of a verb. And it's just, it's all gotten screwed up. Well, in the Middle Ages, it got with Luther, a lot of it went back to the early. And for instance, one of the hallmarks of that period, much of the period in the Dark Ages, was the church. 30 to 40% of their income went to the poor of whatever city they were in. Not to the Christian poor, but to meeting the needs of that community. And there were other things like that. Luther's contribution to the mystery of God is immeasurable. I mean, there's no way we can calculate it how important his contribution was. But even then, it was difficult to have an understanding of what it means to be a body, or what the body of Christ means, because things were, you know, there was just no reference point. And in terms of how the scriptures were read, they just read it, you know, any way they felt like it, but fundamentally. Anyway, this is, and so we hear these words about ministering and prophesying and waiting and all this stuff doesn't make any sense in our world. So what I'm going to try to do over the next few days is make sense of these exhortations from Paul to how we live and how important it is. Is that summary or kind of overview kind of help understand what?
It's a good platform.
Huh?
It's a good platform. Like you say, substance to the picture.
Anybody have any questions and responses?
Well, if we've been living this way for a while, it should make more sense to us than if we just came in out of the cult.
Well, but yeah, I agree. And hopefully it will. But I'm talking about the cultural overlay that's still in your mind from the way you grew up. What?
Let's just go there. Where is that?
What?
No, it's Okay, yeah.
Share it with us.
I don't know what to say. I mean, it's... We went to Bible study last night, and that's exactly what I brought up, is the fact that it's beyond the point of Christianity now, the fear that I have against my parents coming here. It's all cultural, because they're so intertwined. They're so intertwined that the mind has been able to not even create a mind. It's just this mismatch of an amoeba.
Well, let's just show them love.
Don't want to be afraid. I don't want to be afraid of them telling me the worst case scenario of we're leaving. Don't write. Don't call. You've basically shunned your family. You've shunned the church. I don't want to care.
Well, just like Jeff yesterday with his father's situation. He was sad about it, what's going on with his father. You have apprehension about what's going on with your parents. It's just natural. But what is your response to it? It's not saying, I don't want to. It's saying, Father, forgive me. Not dwelling on it. If there's an issue, you give it immediately back up to God. And if you can't give it up, then you talk to people. But don't ever listen to somebody tell you what to do about it in terms of, well, we'll just do this and this. It's cast your burden, cast your care upon him, for he careth for you. But if you don't insult God by holding on to it for even a split second. Amen? That applies to a whole lot of us, doesn't it, Gary?
You hear that,
Pete? What, John?
I think so.
What? No, I said, what's up, John? All right.
I have one other little observation when you're talking about religion there. I'm thinking about religions and what they're about. They all use truth, 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 truth right up to the pinnacle, but they miss it because they are still working it.
Well, this gets in the way. The mind gets in the way.
Well, truth, again, you forget your idea of truth. Truth means that which doesn't change with time.
The way, the truth, and the life.
Right.
Yeah.
There's no, what you think about the truth is absolutely a non-issue. Nobody cares what we think about truth, except us.
Yeah, and that's why religion gets in there, because we think we've got a grip on something.
All right.
This thing about how the church changed and living as a body is it. Living as individuals and making believe at church once a week and stuff. The way I relate to it is when I was younger and stronger and still believed that I was smart and still believed that I could do something, that I wanted to be left alone. I wanted to be me and my life and my relationships, et cetera, et cetera. But as I become older and weaker and it becomes more obvious that I'm not smart and more obvious that I can't do anything, I'm thankful for and want to be part of a body where really nothing depends on me, because I can't do it.
No, that's why I said I could not be a believer without a body. I would go off on some harebrained tangent, which I do enough anyway. All right. Verse 4.
Are we in Corinthians now?
Yeah, are we going to Corinthians yet?
Not yet.
It's confusing.
For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Now, we hear the word office, and we think of a title. So you got to have a title. It's like the banks today. Everybody and their son-in-law is a vice president. What the hell? That doesn't mean anything. there's got to be titles, you know, so-called titles here with us because we have to interface with the world. But you know, what I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be president, but Josh Joy Santa runs everything, and I'm supposed to be the head investigator, but Pete does it, and I just get the blame for it. You know, and the whole nine yards, or you know, everything that Mr. Bojo does is probably what the president should be doing, but I'm incapable. So I mean, it's the whole structure is organic instead of by declaration or some office or organizational chart. And that's incredibly, because the word office here is the Greek word praxis. And it means the natural function. It means birds fly, that's their praxis, that's their office. Legs walk, you know, hands pick up stuff, that's their office, that's their function. But it's not a title. But we have made these titles like minister and bishop and elder and deacon and all that other crap. We've made it a title or a name, and then which defines what you do, as opposed to being organic, what it comes naturally. And so when you hear what is your office, it doesn't mean anything to our language. It just means, What will take place in your life when you're abandoned? That's fundamentally what your office means. So it's just what happens in abandonment.
Is it like having what you can offer, or having a gift, so to speak? Not so much a
no.
Got a gift or
no, it's not. It's a gift, but the gift is, we'll get to that word in a minute, because the gift is the word charisma. But the charisma isn't something that, it's what you do after abandonment. Your office is what you do after abandonment. What the function, what happens in that, in your function, is well, that's what all these other words mean, as we'll see in a minute. But when you when you give somebody a title, then again it causes separation by its nature. So and none of I promise you none of these kinds of words. You know, you go to the extreme when you're like with Robert Tilton or Benny Hinn or Copeland. They don't even let people touch them. And there's only a limited number of people that can ever see. That's a good idea. I think we need that. But
I'm in favor of that.
Huh? So, but it creates this isolation and the something going on with the isolated self instead of the body. Capisce? So office is praxis. Birds fly. Legs walk. Heart pumps. Lungs breathe. I mean, it's not trying to do something. It's just doing, just being.
Yeah, you can't give your nose title of hearer.
Well, you can't even give, in this context, you can't even give your nose title of nose.
Right. It is what it is. I am what I am.
That's what Paul said. I am what I am by the grace of God. It's a small thing if I be judged of you or judged of any man. So does that compute? Do you understand the freedom in this? All right. So in verse 5, so we being many are one body in Christ. Being many is who are many. Now, many is a relative term, obviously. But many here is it just makes the point that you're not alone. We had a case here with one of the new people. I won't mention her name because she might be listening. But she got upset because she expressed a need and we worked to meet that need. But that was an embarrassment to her because she... Anyway, do you understand?
Mm.
So anyway. So let's go. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians 12.
It's like what you're saying, when you're part of the body, you don't get to choose what part that is.
Right.
Well, by definition, if you choose, it's not your office.
That's why it's funny when I hear people, you know, especially like when I used to be invited to speak at Christ for the Nations all the time. And everybody there would, their main interest is what is their calling? And many, what's their office? And there were guys that came in and preached about it. Well, you know, your calling is Jesus Christ. Your office is Jesus Christ. Your purpose is Jesus Christ. Your life is Jesus Christ. You have no investment, nor is it any of your business, how that will be manifested. What? You're smiling a lot. What?
Well, I was there. wasn't it Bonhoeffer who said Christ calls us to die? Christians are called to die.
Well, yeah. The Bible says it, doesn't it? Don't have to worry about Bonhoeffer. What are you laughing about?
Oh, I'm just thinking about that whole Christ for Nations phenomenon. It was all, everything was generated. It was all exciting and kick-ass, but everybody preached a different message every week. Kids were just going crazy, trying to put it in perspective.
But again, you can rejoice because Christ was preached, but you can still make fun of him. All right. 1 Corinthians 12, verse.
What?
Well, let's just read it from the beginning. 1 Corinthians 12. What? Are you making fun of me again?
Oh my God, relax, read.
Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Why is that my favorite phrase, I would not have you ignorant?
Because that's a nice way of what you say all the time. I am not here trying to make you be a dumbass.
You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, this is a huge, huge deal. It's not the words that Jesus is Lord. It's to say Jesus is Lord. If he is Lord, you're dead. Capisce? Well, that's what Bonhoeffer said. Now he's going to get mad at me. Watch.
You're such a dick.
I second that. All in favor.
That's your office.
For sure. You are what you are.
I can hear people in the blogosphere out there going, yeah.
Do you know how many people defend Gary and Harry? And listen.
And same gifts.
If they only knew.
That's why I should admit, I wonder how many. Huh?
They have fans.
Yeah.
You guys have fans?
Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now gifts is charisma again, where it's called office over here. Here it's called charisma.
Office was praxis.
No, it's still gifts. Never mind, you're right. Just wipe that out.
Next way. Oh. Great.
Thank you. Thank you.
Did Bonhoeffer say that?
Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all and in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one, it's not to every man to profit, that's not what they're saying, it's to every man to profit the rest. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discernment of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But these, all these work that every one and the self-same Spirit dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is, and we'll get to into all those gifts of the Spirit when we get there, but for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not of the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole were a body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, then where would there be, where were the body? And now we are the members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. And now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. I've often said that you know you're a church if one suffers, all suffer. If that isn't true, then you're not a church or not a body according to the scriptures. Now, that's pretty heavy. Now that then gives us the predicate to read about what we're going to read in Romans. Now we are the body of Christ and members in particular. And the ones that are feeble are more honorable, more important, i.e., to me, the most important member of this body is Shannon Scruggs. She teaches us more about faith and contentment than any words from us can ever teach. And you've heard me say many times, and it's not some kind of false modesty, I am the least important. And that's true. And we've reached the 8 o'clock hour. So we'll get back to the offices and the gifts and all that stuff in a minute, next time. Any response?
Yeah, I'm part of the body.
You're the mouth.
Well, do you remember that one time I told that person he was a pimple on the ass of the body of Christ?
That's a pretty feeble position.
He's not part of that body.
Not very comely.
Wade, before you were so rudely interrupted by the mouth and the ass.
We read one verse the other day. The fulfillment of the law is to love one another. So we're still in there.
Still Amen. Amen. Jeff?
I guess you and me combined can be the nose.
Well, because mine.
Yeah, together you make one nose.
Together?
Take it, big guy, quickly.